Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
What a privilege to be with you all. Such an honor. It was very short notice. I didn't realize that I would be here. Last Thursday morning, I was just going about my normal routine. Who even has a normal routine anyway, right? Pastor Ken and Chrissy, contacted me. I knew that this is something that I would say an immediate yes to. As a matter of fact, the last time I ever spoke in another church was in 2018 in this church. I felt after the conference in 2018 that I felt God say, I want you to stay home for the next 18 months, and I did that. And then God didn't speak to me. COVID happened, and we stayed home for another 18 months. And I'm privileged to be able to be here with you all. I honour your senior pastors, Pastor Ken and Chrissy, and your campus pastors here, just so precious. You guys are so blessed, honestly. Could we honour them? Thank you so much, Gareth and Jess. You guys are amazing. So often we can say to someone like you, what an incredible future, but I just think you've an incredible present. You guys are amazing people. I just want to be able to share with you, I heard that I'm at the best campus. There's a few amens. But we're going to have a bit of fun. But I want to share a message with you in a moment. But I do want to encourage you. This evening, we've got the closing of conference. And I am really believing for a move of God. I really believe God's been doing something quite extraordinary. And it's actually not location-based. The Holy Spirit isn't subject to a location. The Holy Spirit wasn't... We didn't get a graduated version of the Holy Spirit when we were in the convention center. Just like you don't get a miniature version of the Holy Spirit when we're in Belmont, right? We're here and we can expect God to do something extraordinary. And so I'm really expecting my family sends their love. My wife, Rebecca, would have loved to have been here if we had a little bit more notice. I would have probably organized for her to come. We have three beautiful children, three daughters, Stella, Mia, and Ivana. They're 12, 9, and 8 years old. I love being a dad. It's one of my favorite things in the world. And they're praying for us. Our church is praying for us. They're aware that I've come here. Praying for us to experience something extraordinary while we're here together. I want to share with you a message that I've called Shaken But Not Moved. It was a couple of months ago. I was at a doctor's clinic. I wasn't extremely unwell, but I was at a doctor's clinic just getting a few things checked up. And I was in the waiting room at reception, and there was just me, and there was an elderly gentleman sitting probably 6 or 7 seats up from me, and nobody else, just me, him, and the receptionist at this doctor's clinic. And it was my day off, so I was pretty subdued after a Sunday, kind of worn out. And so on this Monday, I just sort of had my head down, was scrolling through some insignificant things on my phone, just trying to be relaxed and toned down. And while I'm sitting there in the quiet, this elderly gentleman opens up and begins to speak to the receptionist. And he's visibly shaken. And he begins to say to the receptionist, you need to book me in for a COVID vaccination. Right? Now, I'm not here to preach on COVID vaccinations, okay? But he says, you need to book me in for a COVID vaccination. I need to get a vaccination. I'm unwell, and I need to get a vaccination. I'm terrified, and I need to get a vaccination. And the receptionist is trying to calm him down, and she was exceptional. She said, sure, sir, we're just beginning vaccinations this Saturday, and we're booking in 50 vaccinations per Saturday, and I'll try and get you in. And he said, yeah, no, I need the vaccination. Now, I'm hearing all of this. It's not like I was nosy. It's hard. There's only 3 of us in the room. It's hard not to listen to a conversation when he's screaming across the room to this receptionist. The receptionist was exceptional. And then he said, no, I need the vaccination. And she said, actually, sir, I think I can get you in this Saturday afternoon. Now, again, you've got to remember, I've got my head down. I'm just looking at my phone. I'm not really deeply engaged in the conversation. I probably don't want to interrupt. And then the man says this. She says, I can get you in this Saturday afternoon. And the man says this. He goes, well, I just need to check first what time the football's on. Right? Now, you like I, lucky I didn't burst out in laughter, because I immediately looked up thinking, oh, he's lightening the mood. He was stone cold serious. And he was checking his phone to check what time the football team was on. And then said these words, stone cold serious. He said, I would rather die than miss the football. Now, you like I would think, that's completely ridiculous, right? But those words continued to echo for days for me. He was serious. He has nothing worth living for. And so he would rather die than miss the one thing that he wants to live for. And I began to think, I wonder how many people in our churches would rather die than. He was visibly shaken, but he was unmoved when it came to his convictions. And I wonder whether we could build lives where we can be shaken but not moved. This entire season has been quite unique for everybody. There's nobody in the world that's exempt from this season. We're all experiencing it in different ways. Thank God. Aren't you thankful you live in Perth? I'm thankful I live in Adelaide, and we are so thankful we've got campuses like you in other parts of the world and other cities, and they haven't been as lucky, as fortunate as us. But everybody's been shaken in some way, one way or another. There's fear, there's anxiety, there's uncertainty. People have lost jobs, people have lost businesses, people have been unwell, people have lost loved ones. People haven't been able to go to significant milestone birthdays or weddings or even funerals. We've had people pass away where there was a maximum of 10 people at the funeral, and so your immediate family, even children, can't attend their own parents' funeral because of travel restrictions or restrictions on numbers, and all of that continues on. Then there's racial tension, and there's nationwide tension, then there's the fear of war. There's all of this going on at the same time, and it's good news. It's just stay with me. It'll be good news in a moment, but that's the reality. We've got to understand the reality of what we're facing, because we can't be like ostriches where we stick our head in the ground and wait for it all to go away. It's a reality that our world is being shaken. Matter of fact, the scriptures teach us that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. It says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 to 28. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will remain. As since we're receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. I believe as God's church, we can emerge from this season stronger than the way we entered it. When something is shaken, when God decides to allow a shaking, God was not surprised by COVID. He's not surprised by rumors of war. He's not surprised by the challenges that you might face. Your challenges might seem smaller than global challenges, but they're important to you. And he's not surprised by the things that may have shaken you in this recent season, but God doesn't ever shake to hurt. He shakes to heal. And when things get shaken, it's amazing how the excess tends to fall off. The stuff that really doesn't matter. Isn't it amazing how not getting tickets to the football doesn't matter as much as it used to? Isn't it amazing that getting that invitation or not getting that invitation to a birthday doesn't really matter as much as it used to? Because what happens through shakings is excess gets removed and you get left with the things that actually matter the most. And we can emerge from this season stronger than ever before, but we've got to determine how we can be shaken but not moved. How can we be those kind of people? How do we build a life like the heroes of faith who started a lot of their sentences a lot like the man in that doctor's clinic? I would rather die than. How would we finish that sentence? What would the end of our sentence be? So while it looks ridiculous to a man like that, wouldn't it look ridiculous to have a people who have an eternal hope who don't even want to share that sentence? I would rather die than. How can we be shaken and not be moved? Two things I want to share with you this morning, and then we're going to pray. Number one, we need to lay an unshakable foundation. In order to be shaken but not moved, we need to lay an unshakable foundation. The largest building in the world right now is the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, right? It stands at 828 meters tall with 163 stories. Is there anyone in the room that doesn't like heights? Like me. Isn't it like you go out on the balcony if you're ever staying somewhere and you feel like it's pulling you out? You're like, I've got to get back in, right? Imagine being 163 stories in the air. It said that if you are on the top floor of the Burj Khalifa, the building can sway up to 2 meters. And some people go, oh, 2 meters, 2 schmeters, whatever, right? But think about being in a building where it does this. It can withstand 240 kilometer an hour winds. It can withstand an earthquake of up to 7 on the scale, which would be a devastating earthquake. And the reason it can stand is simply because it was built with extraordinary foundations. Foundations that nobody can see. Nobody goes up to the Burj Khalifa and go, wow, now those are some seriously amazing foundations, right? But because it's built with some extraordinary foundations, let me give you some data around it. They have around 45,000 cubic meters of concrete weighing more than 110,000 tons poured into the foundations. That's the equivalent of 18 Olympic-sized swimming pools with 192 piles running to a depth of over 50 meters. Now, I have an Italian background. When we talk about concrete, I get emotional. It's pretty exciting, right? The kind of level of concrete that went into the foundations, and so often we want to build a Burj Khalifa kind of life without a Burj Khalifa kind of foundation, and then we hit moments where winds begin to hit, and then we wonder why our marriages and our parenting and our ministries and our calling and our businesses and our fear all begin to topple over, all of our expectations begin to topple over because we haven't built foundation. The right foundation will allow us to be shaken but not moved. I mean, I feel like this is a church that's mature, a church that understands certain things. I hope you weren't expecting just a light and airy kind of message, because I'm not a light and airy kind of guy, right? And I don't think this is a light and airy kind of church, right? Can I ask some real questions in the room? What would our foundations look like if war broke out? What would happen if financial crisis happened? What happens if we get a terminal diagnosis? Now, I'm all for faith. I'm all for miracles. But what would happen if we didn't have the freedoms that we so beautifully enjoy in our nation right now? What would happen? What foundations do you have? Jesus wants us to understand that we need foundations because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. He guarantees that it'll be shaken. And again, like I say, he doesn't shake to hurt, he shakes to heal. Sometimes the shakings are good for us because they remove the excesses. All of a sudden, it is an incredible privilege just to be able to go from Adelaide to Perth, just to be able to get on a plane and actually be with you. Where I was traveling so much that I had more frequent flyers than frequent flyers had, right? I was a frequent flyer with every possible airline. And I'd jump on and off a plane, and I was saying this to Pastor Ken and Mel on the way here. I was saying, I can't remember how many planes I've been on. He's been on more planes than I've been on. I was on a first name basis. When the stewardess starts calling you by name without looking at your ticket, you know you've traveled way too much, right? But then all of a sudden, I realized what a privilege it was when I got a phone call on Thursday morning, and I suddenly realized I can actually get on a plane. Others can't come from Queensland. Others can't come from Melbourne. But I can go from Adelaide, and that used to be just a given. But now, and what started to become almost an entitlement has restored to becoming a privilege. You remove the excesses, right? We begin to remove the excesses. Look at what Jesus says. Matthew 7:24. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it. So it's not enough to just hear it. That's why we don't just want to hear a sermon this morning. We want to apply something. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So we can either build our house on rock or we can build our house on a firm, on sand, but both houses look the same and both houses will be shaken. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, come on, if you build a Jesus house won't have winds and a Jesus house won't have rain. No, Jesus says, you both build a house and both houses will look the same and both houses will experience wind and both houses will experience rain. And both houses will experience COVID, and both houses will experience restrictions and challenges. Both houses will have times of crisis. Both houses will have it. And both houses look exactly the same, but it's only in the time of the storm that you recognize what foundation is actually being laid. Up until the storm, we can put on our Sunday best. Up until the storm, we can raise our hands. Up until the storm, we can sing with an angelic voice. I thought that Pastor Ken and I this morning, we had angelic voices. I thought we were amazing this morning. We thought we were amazing. I'm not sure why Mel was distancing herself, but maybe she just needed some time in the presence of the Lord, right? We can put all of that on and do all the stuff, and we can go to conference and even get the T-shirt. But it's when the storm comes, and I believe that God is raising a strong church, a church that's resilient, a church that doesn't give up, a church that's fighting, a church that has a firm foundation. You know why this church continues to flourish in the midst of this season? Because this church is not built on Pastor Ken and Chrissy. This church is not built on froth and bubble. This church is not built on style and methods. This church is not built on screens and lights, and I'm all for all of those things. This church is built on a foundation called Jesus Christ. And so it stands in the midst of a storm. We build on a firm foundation. And it's only when shakings come that we discover what's actually there. Most of us live in homes, I hope we all do. And if you're homeless, this is a church that will help you, right? But you don't ever think about your homes, right? Like this morning, did you wake up and go, oh, gee, I'm glad for these foundations, right? But you're thankful if there's wild winds. My kids always get concerned when there's a thunderstorm or heavy rain. And I'm like, kids, you're going to be okay. Everything's strong here. They've not understood foundations yet. We need to build firm foundations. And what is that foundation? Well, that foundation is Christ alone. Matthew 16, verse 13 to 18. You all doing okay? Matthew 16, verse 13 to 18 says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. So stay with me. So what's the word on the streets? Isn't it the same conversation today? What are people saying? Who is God anyway? What is God? Am I God? Is something else God? Is God just whatever I want him to be? What's the word on the streets? What's the opinion? What's the media saying? What's the friends saying? What's the university saying? And Jesus asked the question that he asks all of us. Then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? It has to be personal. And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Jesus isn't saying, I'm going to build my church on you, Peter. It's a play on words, Petros, rock. What he's saying is, I'm going to build my church on a revelation of who Jesus is. I'll build my church. Jesus didn't say, you will build my churches. He never spoke in the plural. That's why this is my church. I'm not visiting another church. I'm visiting just another part of the church, right? But Jesus said, I will build my church. And he said, and the only church he's building is not built on personalities. It's not built on opinions. It's not built on popular words on the street. It's built on a foundational revelation of who Jesus is. And if we build our lives on a foundational revelation of who Jesus is, the storms will come and the storms will go, but we will remain standing and we will be shaken but not moved. This is not a matter of religion. Can I go a little bit deeper with you? It's a matter of eternal life and eternal death. I'm concerned, not in this church, but I'm concerned in the Western church, to the elements that I see, that we have way too much of a temporary gospel. I grew up on an eternal one, right? The wonder of eternity, right? We must restore our wonder in our hope of eternity. Christ came, died, and rose again, not in order that we might have temporary life. He died and rose again in order that we might have eternal life. We quote it, right? John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not. Don't we skip over that? Will not perish. So there is an option. There is an alternative. Will not perish, but have eternal life. Perish, this is the idea of ruin. It's the idea of loss. It's the idea of suffering. It's the idea of eternal torment. Now, I'm not eternal burn kind of person, right? I'm not preaching those kind of messages. What I'm saying is that we need to understand that there is an alternative. It makes me desperate to reach my neighbors. It makes me desperate to reach my family. It makes me desperate to condemn my neighbors, to condemn my family. It makes me desperate to realize, and it makes me in awe and wonder that when I come into a room and begin to speak and sing about an awesome God, I worship with all my heart, not based on whether I think the auditorium's large or the auditorium's small, or the melody is the song that I would like, whether it's an old hymn or a new modern song. I'm not really concerned. As long as I'm speaking about Jesus and singing about Jesus, I can't help but worship, because I know where I would have naturally headed to, and just by the grace of God, I have access to eternal life. The message, does God bless our temporary? Of course he does. I've already stepped into the eternal. Do you know that he has placed eternity in every human heart, Ecclesiastes says, which means you're not a temporary being. Eternity is from now. So God is for us today, but we still live in a broken world. We still live in a fallen world. And what keeps me standing in the shakings is that I don't care what happens in the temporary. I know that even if death was to knock on my door, I have an eternal hope in Christ. We have an unshakable foundation. Revelations 21:8 says, cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers and all liars, their fate is the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. I don't preach enough on this, from this. This is not the finishing point, because when you preach this as a finishing point, you're preaching dead religion and condemnation. The scriptures say in Romans that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. So why are we so passionate, if you're new here, why are we so passionate to introduce you to Jesus? Not so that you would fill a seat at Nations Church, but that you would populate heaven, because Christ came and gave his life for you in order that you might turn from that way and walk in his ways and experience the wonder of eternal life. We need to lay that as our foundation. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. In other words, what we deserve to be paid. But the free gift can't be earned. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the good news. The good news is we deserve death, but God gave us what we could never earn, and that's the free gift of eternal life by having faith in Christ. We cannot earn it. We simply receive it by faith. This is the wonder of the good news. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift. How many are thankful for the gift given to us by God, not by works, so that no one can boast? God offers you and I this gift. We've got to remind ourselves of the wonder of the gospel. Every time I go into my study at home to pray, and when I rose this morning to pray, as I was in my room, I always start with, God, give me a fresh wonder of your gospel. May I never graduate from the wonder of your amazing grace and your incredible love towards us and your amazing forgiveness and the eternal hope that I have. We say in our church that you don't ever graduate from the gospel. The gospel is not the ABCs of Christianity. The gospel is the A to Z of Christianity. It's what makes me worship. It's what makes me serve. It's what makes me sing. It's what makes me reach. It's what makes me breathe. It's what causes me to rise every day and want to reach my neighbors and serve those around me and see high schools and universities. And I'm sorry, this is not my natural personality, but let me tell you, when we get into understanding this is what we're here for, is to see lives transformed by the power of the gospel. It's not a game. It's not even a weekend gathering. It is a burning passion that we would reach people who are lost and bring them in, because their houses are tumbling over in stormy seasons, and yet our house can remain standing. I love Revelations 21.
verse 1 to 7, it's kind of like giving you a spoiler alert, showing you a little bit of what's coming, right? It says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said this to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" We lay a foundation of who Christ is and the eternal hope we have, so that whatever happens in the temporary, war may come, but my eternal hope is secure in Christ. Crisis may come, but my eternal hope is secure in Christ Jesus. Financial crisis may come, but my eternal hope is secure in Christ Jesus. The wonder of who he is. We lay a foundation, and that foundation is Jesus. Hebrews 13, 8 and 9 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace." Can I encourage you, when you go home, have a read of Hebrews chapter 13. Because Hebrews 12, we read earlier, concludes with the shakings. Hebrews 13 will show you what's going to be shaken. It's focus, it's family, it's finances, it's fathers, it's fellowship. There's a whole stack of them that is listed in Hebrews 13. And right in the middle of it, right in the middle of all the shakings that God shows us are going to happen, he says, "But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." He is unshakable. He is unchanging. He is consistent. Even when we are unfaithful, he is faithful. He is for you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And if our God is for us, then who can be against us? Can I say to the younger generation, get a hold of this now. I believe that God is raising up a generation that is set apart, a generation that would make a stand, a generation that won't be moved, a generation that is unshakable, but we don't build our foundation on cool church. I'm all for cool, I'm all for fun, I'm all for all of those things. We shouldn't have to get rid of all those things. All I'm saying is that when all is said and done, may the foundation of our life be a revelation of who Jesus is and all that he has done, so that one day we might also declare, "I would rather die than walk away or compromise my convictions in Christ." If the musicians can come back, that would be really great. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but we are not moved because of our hope in Christ. So we lay an unshakable foundation. And number two, we build with unshakable conviction. We live at a time in history that's almost a perfect storm. So I want you to stay with me and just consider what I'm about to say in the next few moments. Human interaction is diminishing at the same alarming rate that social media interaction is increasing, isolating people while simultaneously creating a false sense of connection. That's what the enemy does. He's a deceiver. I love what John Bevere says. The problem with deception is it's deceiving. If it wasn't deceiving, it wouldn't be deception. And what the enemy does is he gives you a false sense of connection and says, "It's all connected. These are my friends," while isolating us simultaneously. People are being isolated at the same alarming rate that they're being given a public platform to communicate their opinions and ideas. That's why they're called social media platforms. Everyone now has a pulpit to preach from. biblical literacy is diminishing at the same alarming rate at the increase of social opinion. The result is that our families and our values and our communities and the future for our children is increasingly fragile because our world is choosing to reject the foundational convictions on which life was created and society's built. The future is fragile when it's built on opinion, on trend, and on personal preferences, rather than the design of the one who created it. But there is hope, and that hope lies in the decision of God's people to return to the Word of God and build lives with unshakable convictions. I refuse to let my children grow up on snapshot scriptures. I want my children to be children who know the Word of God. I do not want my children to be led by social opinion or media ideas. I will allow my children to know the Word of God. I'm all for Bible apps. I'm all for reading plans. I'm all for all of those things. Thank God that people are being reached with these apps. But please, let's not think we're going to build biblical convictions on a scripture that pops up on my screen every day. I want to build with the conviction of the Word of God that I understand how to navigate the Word of God. Young people, make this the space you spend your most time. While there's damage and all that that's done with smartphones, what they do give us is insight into where we're spending our time. Because you can do a search. And all I challenge us to do is to spend more time in the Word than we do in social media. I'm not anti-social media. It can be a great tool, but it can also be a great enemy. And in order for us, are you okay with me sharing this? I could have shared some many different messages and you'd probably be on your feet cheering me down and going, that was nice and easy. But I didn't come here to give you a nice and easy message. I want to leave here leaving a deposit inside of you that you would understand that there is a foundation we can have in Christ. And we cannot go into our future just on emotive experiences. We can go into our future and live unshakable lives because we are certain in Christ and we live according to the Word of God. So my children will not be led by everything else that's said to them. My children will be children of the Word. I loved it a few weeks ago. My 8-year-old daughter, I was telling Pastor Ken this in the car, and I was just saying how my 8-year-old daughter, her name is Ivana Joy. And she is joy. I mean, she's just joy. She makes me smile just talking about her. And she so wants to learn. And like most youngest children, they want to do what the elders do at the same time that they're doing it. So she just wants to learn everything, know everything. And we're sitting at the table and we always have conversations around the table. We have a thing called high-low buffalo. Every dinner, high-low buffalo. What's your high in the day? What's the low in the day? And buffalo is kind of like a random. You can say whatever you want. Something funny, something just random, right? Because we want to know and we want them to dialogue with us. In the morning, when it's my day off, my wife and I will drive them to school and we pray together. We ask them what things they've learned in their devotions and we guide them through the Word of God. So my Ivana, she's really hungry. And we were just sitting at the table and she says, Dad, what does the word increase mean? My 8-year-old, what does the word increase mean? I said, well, darling, why don't you try putting it in a sentence? See if you can put it into a sentence. And if you put it into a sentence, maybe you'll work out what it means. My 9-year-old immediately goes, well, Dad, I was reading this morning. Legit like this. Dad, I was reading this morning that John the Baptist said, I must decrease in order that he might increase. And I'm going, my 9-year-old is quoting scripture in a random conversation. I would rather them go, oh, no. Rather that than them going, you know, I was watching TikTok and someone increased their followers. Not anti-TikTok, right? We've got to get the Word of God. You know why I travel? Like, I've got more Bibles I can put on my phone than you could put in a truck, right? And just download them. You know why I travel with a physical Bible? Because I think people are going to forget what it looks like. And could there be a generation 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years from now where they think the Bible's another app? No, this is the treasured Word of God. So I bring my leather-bound one because I'm just more spiritual, right? May we treasure the Word of God. May we be a people with unshakable conviction. May we build on an unshakable foundation. May we build our marriages and our parenting, not on popular opinion, but on what the Word of God teaches us. May we understand our identity based on what the Scriptures say. May we understand our God, not based on popular opinion, but based on the wonder of how much he loves us. God is not an angry God wanting to beat you up. He is a loving God that came and took upon himself the punishment for our sin in order that we might walk with him. Amen. I just want to take an opportunity to pray for people. Would you bow your heads right across this place? God is for you. And you're living at a time in history where everything that can be shaken is being shaken. You might be sitting there going, my life is completely out of control. My house is out of control. I've lost this, I've lost that, and I'm really struggling. Maybe you don't even know where your future lies. And you're saying, Pastor John, if there's an eternal hope I can have, then I want that eternal hope. God loves you. He loved you before you breathed your first breath. He formed you and knitted you together in your mother's womb. He knew exactly who you would be and when you would be born. And he's loved you in your bad, and he's loved you in your good. He loved you on the cross over 2,000 years ago before you ever did something right and before you ever did something wrong. He made a way for you to have eternal life. And when our world is being shaken, we need this eternal message more than ever before. And what I love about it, that's why we call it good news, that's why we use language like amazing grace, is that the good news is you don't have to earn it. This is not something you work your way towards. The enemy will tell you, fix your life, tidy it up, get everything right, sort those issues out, and God will love you. That's dead religion. Jesus said that you can come and have life. It's a free gift. And what you do with the gift is simply this. What you do with the gift is you just receive it. It's humbling. Whenever I receive a gift, it humbles me because I didn't earn it. A wage I earn, but a gift I can't. So all you need to do is reach out and take it. And the wonder of it is this, that if you believe in your heart that Christ died for you and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, in other words, you're willing to place him at the center of your life, you will be saved. And whatever shakings come and go, you will have an eternal hope in Christ, which is our joy forever, where there's no more pain and no more suffering. And we would love to, as a church family, to pray with you in this moment. If you're saying, Pastor John, I would love to put my trust in Jesus. Maybe you made that decision many years ago and walked away, or maybe you've walked in here for the very first time and you've never heard about the love of Christ. We would love to pray with you. Grace of God is right here, ready for you. If you're saying, Pastor John, I'd love to pray, I'm not going to do anything other than ask you to raise your hand, and then you can put it down, and then we're all going to pray together. And your eternal destiny can turn around in this one act of faith. If that's you, just quickly slip up your hand. I'll see it. And you can put it down. You want to put your faith and trust in Jesus. You want to restore your faith and trust in Jesus. Let me pray for you in this moment. Just slip your hand up. I'll see it. And then we're going to pray for one other thing after that. If you want to respond to Jesus, just slip your hand up. Let me pray for you in this moment. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. What a great decision. Thank you so much. Is there someone else in this place? We're going to pray this prayer together. Can I encourage our church family here to encourage these people that have responded today? And so we're all going to pray this prayer together. And to those that have raised their hands, I want you to pray this sincerely from your heart. I'm just going to lead you through this prayer. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your forgiveness. We're sorry for the sins we've committed. We thank you that you forgive us of all sins. So from this day forward, I put my life in your hands, and I'll follow you all the days of my life. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church. Could we congratulate those that responded today? What a great decision. Would you all stand to your feet with me? I just want to pray over you. Can I encourage you This evening, we're going to gather together at the Myaree campus, and I'd love for our Belmont family to be with me. I'm really believing for an open heaven and for God to release us into our next. I really do believe it's not the end of conference. I believe it's the send of conference. God doesn't do anything in us for the sake of it remaining there. It's got to go out from there. And I believe there's a supernatural sending that's going to happen tonight. I just want to pray. Would you just bow your heads? Close your eyes. I'm just going to pray a fresh wonder of the gospel would come to you. And I want you to put your hands out in front of you, and I just pray that God would fill your lives. I pray that there would be a fresh passion and hunger for the Word of God. If you don't know how to navigate the Word of God, please speak to our pastors here. And they'll help you on this journey. Get involved in a connect group. Get in amongst family and friends. And allow them to minister to you. But I pray, Father, in this place, for this dear family. Lord, I pray that you would bless each one. Father, I pray that we would experience a fresh wonder of who you are and all that you've done. Father, I pray in these shaking seasons that we would be a people who build on the solid foundation of who Christ is. I pray that you would remind us afresh of the wonder of the eternal hope that you have given us, the certain hope you have given us, your amazing grace and your incredible faithfulness. And Father, I pray that you would increase in your church a hunger and an understanding and a revelation of the wonder of your word, the will of God. And I pray that we would be a people that when all else falls away, we will remain standing because of the wonder of who you are. We look forward to the future, knowing that you are with us and that you are for us. Father, I pray for this region of Perth. I pray that you would send out this army of people to bring this wonderful message of the good news to the community around us. I pray schools, universities, communities, sporting clubs be affected by a people that stand with joy and life in the midst of stormy seasons. And that as others look in on their house that's standing, that they would ask the question, and our declaration will always be, it is because of who you are. So have your way in our life, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, come on, if you love Jesus, why don't you give him some praise in this place?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.